You're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout, your host every month. I'm here in the studio today with a couple of special guests, and Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging is my co-host here every month. And we have Tiffany Brown. She is the Clatsop County Emergency Manager. Hi to both of you.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being here. Today we're going to be talking about emergency preparedness for seniors. And if you live here on the coast, you know that we've had reason lately to be thinking about preparedness. We've had storms, and we always have storms, but we're coming around to that anniversary time of the year when we think about the big 2007 storm and other storms. And then we just had a tornado in Manzanita last month. So people on the coast are thinking about preparedness, and we thought this would be a good time on this show to talk about how seniors in particular can be prepared. So Tiffany, why don't we start with you? Your role at the county is to be thinking about all these things all the time. So let's start talking about what are some of the things particularly that seniors need to be thinking about in this kind of a context.
Sure. Well, in many ways, seniors are like everyone else. They need to consider personal preparedness, and those involved a few key steps, no matter who you are. Pack a kit, have a plan, and be informed about the hazards in your area. We have a lot of resources available online at our office and throughout the area to help people get those plans and those packs together. But there are a few considerations for seniors that certainly aren't exclusive to seniors, but we see more so. And it has to do with what do you put in your pack? You know, you get a list from FEMA, but does it really take into consideration the special needs and functional access issues that we sometimes find with seniors? And so do you need hearing aid batteries? Do you need certain medications, or at least a record of certain medications? That's important information that could go into a kit.
So what about when you talk about the hazards in your area, how does somebody figure out what the hazards are in their area?
Well, your local emergency management office is a good place to start. We have information on our website, but since I'm here, I can talk about the hazards that impact our area.
Okay, good.
Natural hazards are what we typically look at, and in Clatsop County and across the river, we're talking about essentially the same things. Of course, winter storms and flooding, landslides, even drought. Is something that we could face, as we've seen in the last couple of years. Earthquakes are something we've become more familiar with in the last decade. And then when we're talking about an earthquake emanating from the Cascadia subduction zone, we're also talking about tsunami.
So what sort of things, let's just talk a little bit about what should be in a go pack in general, just a general go pack.
Great.
Because I know a lot of people don't have them.
Absolutely. So before we get to the tangible items that go in a go pack, let's talk about communications, which is absolutely an essential part of being ready and having a kit. Communications means a lot of different things. So we can talk about equipment. All of us have some form of communication. We have a phone or we have a cell phone. We actually had a partnership with Northwest Senior and Disabilities last year, where we issued NOAA weather radios to some of their clients. And that is the federal system, which if everything else isn't working, you can get a redundantly powered radio that at least lets you know from the National Weather Service what's headed your way. And that's if local media isn't able to broadcast. You know, we have so many media sources these days, but a NOAA radio really is kind of a last resource when a lot of other things aren't there. So that's the equipment piece of communications, but a communication plan is an important part of all of this. Who would you call in an emergency? And how recently have you looked at that list and updated those phone numbers? Does that person still have a landline? Do they have a cell phone now? Do they still live in the area? Have they moved into assisted living and they're no longer in the location that you thought that they were? Are you a senior who lives in the area? Maybe you don't have mobility issues. Maybe functional access needs aren't your thing. But are you isolated? Do all of your kids live in Portland? How would you get a hold of someone? How would you let them know that you were okay if something big happened in Clatsop County or across the river?
So another thing about communications is that, and we've, This is something that we've given away as a gift during an emergency pledge drive, and that's a crank radio. So if you think about the things that you might need if the power suddenly went off. The other day I bought a battery pack for my cell phone so that I could plug my cell phone in and get it charged for, you know, a week or something if I needed it. And so things like that, alternate power sources, but they have crank radios now that, you know, that you can buy them at Radio Shack. They can crank them to make them run. You can plug your phone into it and crank it to charge your phone. So there's a lot of options. They aren't terribly expensive. And those are also options. Did you want to say anything?
Well, one thing to think about when we're talking about communication and stuff is, you know, more and more seniors are getting cell phones, which is great. And there's a lot of different ones out there that are don't have all the apps that all the stuff, but it's just a good phone with big buttons and all of that stuff.
Right.
But one thing we learned with that big storm several years ago, too, was that, you know, a lot of people have cordless phones now, especially our older seniors that have some mobility issues because they can keep it with them, you know, right next to them. Well, power goes off, your phone's gone. So we always encourage people that, you know, don't throw away your old landline phone.
Right, right.
You know, if you're not going to use it, at least know where it is so you can plug it in because that will work when the power goes off, when other things won't. And with that big storm, a lot of the cell phones didn't work either because the cell towers were gone.
Right, right.
So, you know, that's one thing to think about. You know, don't, and if you're like some members of my family, they're pack rats, they probably have several of those phones around.
And even if you don't, I mean, you can go to Fred Meyer and buy one of those phones for about $12.
Right.
I mean, you know, and just keep it around because it will work no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know another option for seniors that is in the communication realm, if you're mobile and able to get out and is becoming a ham radio operator. You can do that really easily around here by taking a class on a weekend. And once you have that license, I did it after the 2007 storm, as a lot of people did, you have the legal right to communicate on a ham radio, which if all these other things go out, that's what's going to be happening around here for people talking to each other. And the reason why I did it was that I live in a remote kind of area of the county, and I realized that we were completely cut off during that 2007 storm. And if anything had happened to anybody, everybody was using chainsaws, trees were falling. I thought if anybody got really injured in my neighborhood, we had no way to get the word to anybody to let us know, them know that we needed help. And so you could be the ham radio operator in your neighborhood. That would be a tremendous resource for just keeping people informed. But the whole idea, I mean, if I'm understanding correctly, when you're talking about communications, what you really need to have isn't it, Tiffany, somebody who's not in your area that you can call, like a family member who lives in another state or something that could be the reference point for everybody? Is that kind of?
Absolutely. I think what we hear from lessons learned in other disasters is that immediately following an event, even if the infrastructure for the phones is still up, it may be very clogged up. You may not be able to get through locally, but you may be able to make a call outside the area. And this is sort of an area to think about for seniors too, because I know the seniors in my own family don't text, but maybe it's motivation to learn how to do so if you know that your phone may not work, but you may be able to text
to
after
text,
a disaster,
yeah,
because it just takes less service to do so.
Some of the things that we're talking about, particular things like maybe an extra set of glasses, prescriptions. I know one issue though with people though is that these days doctors won't really give you extra medication.
Right.
So people maybe need to be ready to grab the medication they have if something happens and stick it in their go bag.
Yeah, a lot of times seniors will have, again, if they have mobility issues, then it's actually a little easier to organize their stuff because they've got it kind of organized so they don't have to go here to get it and here to get it
right,
and here to get it. And many of them keep their pills already in a basket or a box. You know, they're labeled, and they might even be bubble packs or whatever. They keep them in a box so they're all in one place. And that makes it very easy then to just pick up the box and put it in the kit. So if you don't have that, if you still have them sort of spread around, you might think about consolidating them in one space.
Well, you know, I've heard this phrase since the Manzanita tornado. One phrase that came out of that community was the idea of a culture of preparedness, which I thought was a great phrase of, you know, all of us who live in this high-risk area for one darn thing or another, and now, oh, tornadoes, add that to the list, the checklist of things to worry about. You know, if you build a culture of preparedness in your family even, that is a really cool thing. And you can do this and not obsess about it. I think that's, you know, one of the things that we've encountered here at the station where we try to be an emergency resource for people is that emergency preparedness scares the heck out of people around here because it's always in the context of the big one. You know, and that just makes us all want to put our hands over our ears and go, la, 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 la. I don't even want to think about this. But, you know, if you just think, well, as you were saying, preparing for any emergency is the same as preparing for the big
emergency.
Absolutely.
Well, we don't even have to think about natural hazards. Think about what you do to get yourself ready for a power outage, for example. And many of those same steps are going to serve you well for a number of the natural hazards that we're talking about, including the big one.
Another thing to think about, too, with the power outage and things like that, and particularly with seniors and people that have issues, health issues, is the whole oxygen thing. You know, people have the oxygen, just drew the blank on what they're called. Anyway, the machines in their house that get the oxygen, they have the tubing and all of that. Well, the power goes off, you're out of luck. Now, a lot of people that we work with also have tanks. Just because of that. But a lot of people also have nebulizers, and the nebulizers are what help you breathe and you know, clear the lungs and all of that,
right.
But it's also electric. So they're kind of, unless they have a generator at home that they can use, they get kind of stuck. Over on the Washington side, and I assume the same's over here, in those type of emergencies, our people can go to the fire departments, who have their own generators, of course, for their stuff. And they'll do the nebulizer treatments for you. They'll let you plug in there. They'll let you refill your tanks, even your oxygen tanks, if you can. So that's a good resource to remember that, because I think a lot of times we think, oh, I'm without power. Everybody's without power. Yeah, not necessarily, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. especially our emergency places, you know, our fire departments and stuff. They have to have power.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they've done that in the past with power outages on the Washington side where people have gone and done their nebulizer treatments at the fire hall.
That's great. And so I think it's important to think about the fact that there are lots of lesser emergencies that can happen, and you can make your life much easier if you just do a little preparation, and that's kind of what the go bag is all about.
Yeah, I want to get one of those hand-cranked radios only because I didn't know you could charge your cell phone.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, you might have to crank for like 2 days to charge. I don't know about that, but, you know, I know that you can.
A trickle's better than no power at all, right?
right, I know. But, you know, for cell phones, I just bought this real, and there are many of them, I just bought this cool thing that actually was recommended to me by Scott Reuter, who's big in emergency preparedness around here, which is this, you know, it's about maybe 8 inches long and a couple inches wide, and it's a battery pack for your cell phone. It's got USB ports in it, and it supposedly would let me charge my iPhone about 7 times before the battery ran out.
Wow.
And so these things, I mean, if you Google it, you know, battery pack cell phone, you'll find a million of them. There's some that are look like a cigarette lighter that will charge yours couple times, but this was, you know, I wanted something that I could really, because a cell phone is so important for what I do as the manager of the station to be able to keep in touch with our staff and social media and all that while we're doing emergency stuff, that I thought, I want something that's really going to keep my cell phone going, so I'm not going to be, because the only other thing you can do then is sit out in your car, which is kind of, you know, dorky. Oh, I'm going to go sit in my car for an hour and charge my cell phone.
Yeah.
But, and then what if your car's not available too? Mm-hmm. That's another thing. So just sort of thinking in terms of, you know, what are the things that you take for granted doing every day that you might need some help with if the power went out, if, you know, if you weren't able to go anywhere? I mean, downed trees are a big deal around here. You know, mm-hmm. the minute something goes wrong in terms of storms, the roads get blocked.
Absolutely.
You know.
So let's talk about communications, old-fashioned communications.
Oh, yeah.
And that is people talking to each other.
Oh, that.
You know, understanding.
Who does that anymore?
Dale and I were talking earlier about the Map Your Neighborhood program.
Yes, right.
And it's a program designed to get neighbors to do what they used to do naturally, I think, which is meet each other and talk to one another and understand what special needs or resources are available in a neighborhood. And so I think that would be my advice to seniors in the area is to develop that network. You know, maybe you have a care provider, maybe you don't need a care provider, but how well do you know your neighbors? And do you have sort of a plan, if only an informal plan among neighbors, who needs checking on? Who's home a lot? Who isn't home a lot? just to better understand those vulnerabilities before the event hits?
I think that's we just had an example on a small scale of that a couple of weeks ago on the peninsula and up towards Ocean Park, and it was in the Chinook Observer, and it was a guy that lived in a trailer court, and he didn't really know this lady that was there, but he'd see her when he'd come in, and she was always sitting out reading a book, and they had waved to each other and that kind of thing, and knew her enough to know that she liked historical novels and that kind of stuff. So anyway, he said he came home, and he didn't see her sitting there, and, well, maybe she had a doctor's appointment or something, he said. And so he went out and did whatever he did and came back, and he still didn't see her out there. And he said, so he thought, well, maybe they have family, whatever. But the next morning, still no sign over there. So he said, on a pretext, he got one of his historical novels and said, I'll just go, hey, I found this book for you, because he didn't want to, interrupt her privacy or whatever, and knocked on the door, and then he thought he heard something. Well, she had fallen and gotten wedged in the bathroom. And so he was able to get her out. And of course, typically, her biggest concern was, my cats haven't been fed now in this many hours, So he talks about the pets and emergencies. But it was just that neighborhood thing that because someone should be there and you're not seeing them, maybe it's a good idea to just see how they're doing,
So. That's great. Mm-hmm. It is. You mentioned something really important that I hear a lot about when I have people call to talk about disasters and seniors, and that's pets.
Mm-hmm.
For many people, whether they're seniors or not, pets are our life companions, and they're a very important part of the disaster. So if pets are an important part of your life, then preparing for them is as important as preparing for yourself. And there are also lists, list suggestions for packing for your pets, food and water. But one of the important things we talk to people about is having a picture of your pet.
Mm.
Pets, it's not uncommon for pets to get separated from their owners in a disaster. And it may be the only way that you have to identify your pet. They found a lot of that happened after Katrina.
Oh, yes. And having your pet microchipped and having, just a silly example of that. I bring my dog to work here during pledge drive when it was warm out. The door was open in August and my golden retriever got bored. So he wandered out and went on, as it turns out, on the same route we always walk together. And I was busy on the air, and all of a sudden my cell phone rang, and it was this really nice woman up the street going, do you have a golden retriever named Ben? Because he had a little tag on him with his name. And he's also microchipped, so if they'd taken him. But, he just went on a little field trip because he was like, well, mom's busy. I want something to do. But that was a really good example of something like that. I mean, I would have been absolutely distraught if he had just wandered
Absolutely.
Off and mm-hmm. no one had any way to identify him.
Yeah.
So I know, anyone would be distraught at losing their pet. So there's an example, just a very kind of fun example of how just a simple tag with your phone number
right.
and your name on it
yeah.
and the
right.
dog's name. Do you have a dog named Ben? Yes!
I know. That's great.
It was great.
And a pet carrier.
Yes.
even if you have a pet, I have pets that can go to the vet without a carrier, and I have pets that I would never take to the vet without a carrier. And even the best pet could act in a way that you didn't expect after a disaster. If you have a carrier and you need to evacuate with your pet, that's going to be a much better situation. You might also free up room at a shelter for someone who didn't have a place to store their pet, and they can better utilize whatever's been made available at the shelter.
One of the things that we were talking about before the show is a really cool booklet that's put out by the American Red Cross. And it's called Disaster Preparedness for Seniors by Seniors. And it's a group of seniors that got together and they looked around and they said, well, we understand that there's these generic kits are out there, but what do we need? There are issues that seniors deal with that younger people may not. Younger people may, I've got my cell phone and a charger. I'm good. I can go anywhere, and do whatever and throw a rock at a rabbit if I have to or something, But the older people, they have a lot of things like we talked about, the meds and the extra pair of glasses and hearing aid batteries and what if they're wheelchair bound and they have an electric wheelchair, is there a spare battery that you keep charged and all these type of issues. And it's a very good book and you can download it and print it. Off the site, American Red Cross site, and it also has blank pages. So you can personalize it. What else should I have in there? Here's the generic checklist, but what else would I want in there? And so you can fill those out too, and then a place for your contacts and that type of thing. So it's very good to have. It's a little thick, but, you know, you just use the parts that you're going to use. It's a very good thing to go through and sort of develop your own kit and your own plan. I think if all of us followed all of the booklets that are out there, we would need a U-Haul for our travel kit, for our emergency kit to go with us, you know. So you take a little bit from each one and see what suits you and develop your own. But it has some real insights into it for seniors.
So I wanted to ask a little bit, can we talk a little bit about shelters in an emergency? So what kind of resources are available in both of our areas? Because Tiffany, you're the kind of the local Oregon side of the river, and Doug with the Olympic Area Agency on Aging is kind of Washington. So if there was a disaster that required us to open shelters, where are some of the places around here, Tiffany, that people would go to? I don't know if people even know that.
Well, Red Cross has pre-identified a number of locations throughout the county. They don't tend to make those locations public knowledge on a regular basis because it really depends on the location of the emergency and the availability of volunteers as to whether they can activate those shelters. I can tell you that during the storm a couple weeks ago, we activated the shelter at Lewis and Clark Grade School. But every community throughout the county does have a shelter. And that information would be sent forth in the way of public messaging, just as it was a couple weekends ago when we opened the shelter.
Okay, and then we would be announcing it on KMUN and KTCB, and it would be probably on social media if people were doing that. And okay, so there are ways, and people could call, call the fire department or call your office or something to ask. Okay.
Yeah, and on the Washington side, it's you know, your counterpart over there would be Pacific County Emergency Management something. PSEMA, anyway.
Yeah.
You'd be calling them or calling any the fire halls or whatever, too, because it's the same way. There are designated shelters that have backup generators and all of that. Not really just sort of generally advertised, but get activated once because there are people there. We have a senior center that serves that way, and one of the fire departments does in the hospital. So there's different places. The schools are great for that. But again, it's more of go to your nearest shelter. Here's where they are at the time that it comes. And just like what Tiffany does over here, they do over there, and very good at, you know, send it out on your cell phone. It'll come on your email. It'll come on, you know, Facebook. They go all out.
Yeah. So. That's Stephanie Fritz is the person over there, and they do a great job. Well, you know, for people, one thing that came to mind for me just now is that for people who have really limited mobility, their only option in some situations might be to do what they would call sheltering in place. Yeah. So when you don't think of necessarily the go bag implies that you're going to grab the bag and run. But another thing is people need to think about what to do in their homes. So are there particular things they can do in their homes to shelter in place?
Oh, exactly. And I think that they aren't they aren't mutually exclusive. Your go bag can be your sheltering in place supply. But one thing that simple things you don't think about are things like, do you have blankets? I mean, real blankets, especially like wool blankets that even if they get damp, they'll still keep you warm. Or are you just relying on your electric blanket to keep you warm, every night?
True.
Sturdy shoes, you know, I mean, you may walk around your house in stiletto heels or something all the time, but you know, if you need to move through some rubble or something, or something falls over in your house, you need to get around, just some good sturdy shoes and keep them by the bed with a flashlight by the bed, so when you get up you're not trying to find everything all at once. You have to go stumble through the darkness to find the flashlight to find the rest of it. So keep a flashlight by the bed and keep the sturdy shoes by the bed and those type of things. So a lot of, and it doesn't hurt to have extra food. And I mean, if you have a freezer, fill it up, but don't keep opening it.
Right. And canned food too.
Canned food too.
Dry food.
And I mean, we've become such a culture of, well, I'll run to the store and get something for dinner tonight.
Sure.
You know, and that's all you do. So that old, just think of, in my instance, my parents, or in a lot of people listening, maybe their grandparents, remember the pantry, you know, it was full of canned goods. It was right. full of stuff that they put up themselves. It was full of dry goods that could last. And so think of those type of things. You don't have to, you know, plan for a siege probably of months, but just enough to what happens if the power is out for a week? Are you still going to be able to eat? Do you have the little camp stoves that you can use, not in the house, but mm-hmm. you know, outside on the deck or in a garage? Those type of things. And we've done that many times when the power's gone out, just went out, fired up the butane thing and cooked soup or whatever. But so those type of things are good to have. But there's so many things that we don't think about anymore. Electric furnace. Maybe you don't have any wood heat or anything like that, but electric furnace. The houses and mobile homes now are really well insulated. They'll hold the heat for a few days, but eventually it's going to get chilly. So do you have the heavy blankets? Do you have the jackets and that type of things and the shoes? Do you have drapes that you can pull your windows to keep some of the heat in? Mm. So just right. simple things like that, but things that we don't think about because we're pretty fortunate in just skipping along the top of things usually. So, mm-hmm.
Well, in bottles of water, I mean, you can really inexpensively buy a few plastic gallon bottles of water and just keep them around. I mean, you know, that's just a resource that, even though we're surrounded by water here, having drinkable water, I guess getting a water filter is an option too, but I'm talking about people who are homebound and, you know, filtering your water is probably not going to be a terribly easy right. thing for someone, but a few gallons of water around could mm-hmm. save your life. You know, mm-hmm. you can last much longer without food than you can without water. So in this show, we've been talking about disaster preparedness. I'm Joanne Rideout. I've been here in the studio this week with Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. He sort of represents the Washington piece. And Tiffany Brown, who is the Clatsop County Emergency Manager. And we'll be talking about senior preparedness and general disaster preparedness, because this is the time of year when we get our worst weather. And we just had a tornado and we just had an earthquake. Tiffany, can you tell us what's the best way to, you know, find the information on your website? Let's start with that.
So let's talk about the different reasons that one would want to contact my agency. The main reason that we get contacted is for public outreach materials and information along the lines of the topics we've been talking about today. We have an actual outreach center with materials, booklets like the one that Doug described earlier that I had never seen before today. And by the way, we'll start printing and carrying that so that maybe residents who don't have the resources to print the booklet themselves could contact us for that. Another thing that I encourage is for groups to contact us for presentations and whatnot. We're getting called increasingly more by special groups and businesses to come to talk to their staffs and their residents about personal preparedness, both at the individual level as well as the organization level. Our office is located at 800 Exchange in Astoria. People call it the old clinic. It's the public services building, and we're on the fourth floor there. And our phone number is 503-325-8645.
And people can also go to the Clatsop County website and access you through there as well.
They can. If you go to the main page of the Clatsop County website, you can find us by department, emergency management, and there are a lot of resources there in terms of preparedness, understanding the natural hazards, like you talked about earlier, and links to other resources.
Okay, great. And Doug, Olympic Area Agency on Aging, how would people get a hold of your agency?
Well, we have two offices in Pacific County, one in Raymond, and that's at 360-942-2177. And one in Long Beach at 642-3634. And our website is www.o3a.org.
And that's a tremendous resource for all sorts of information about senior services of any kind. And so I guess the bottom line is, if you have a question, there's a place where you can go and ask. And if you're driving or if you just don't remember anything you said because you're busy or you just tuned in, you've been listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. We've been talking this month about emergency preparedness and how you can be safe on the coast no matter what happens, because that's kind of, we're a survivor bunch around here, and we want to make it through whatever happens. So thanks for listening. Thank you, Tiffany and Doug,
Thank
for
you.
Being here.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time on A Senior Moment.